Islands are all Trendaragua criminals when the status is only available to people with no criminal record?
Yeah, and what do you think in terms of the numbers that the Trump administration is claiming, more than 100,000 people deported so far in his administration?
Yeah, those numbers seem likely incorrect. They don't fit. The Trump administration said yesterday they'd also done 110,000 arrests already. That suggests they did 70,000 arrests in the last 2 weeks. I think somebody in the administration made a mistake. But what we know is these are the numbers they want. Their goal is to ramp up deportations and arrests as quickly as they can. And if that leads to a bunch of innocent people getting swept up alongside, the message that the White House is sending is they don't care. As long as they hit their numbers, who cares who's on those planes? They just want to get them out of the country.
Federal judges ordered the Trump administration to restore funds to programs that provide legal services to unaccompanied minors, to children in immigration proceedings. 10 seconds.
Great news. Children need lawyers. No child should have to face deportation in court alone. And the Trump administration wanted to strip away federally funded lawyers that Congress set aside money for.
We're going to leave it there. Aaron Reichlin Melnick, senior fellow at the American Immigration Council. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez for another edition of Democracy Now!
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
You're listening to KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 4 Special Programming Campaign. Check out all the great special programs we're bringing you now through April 15th at kboo.fm/ATNF4.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8:01 a.m. Next up is Wednesday Talk Radio with Paul Roland.
Good morning, everybody. I'm back. This is Paul Roland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. We are live, and I'm in the studio by myself. And I, for those of you who are regular listeners to Talk Radio, to my slot in particular, you know I've been kind of beating around the bush, making broad hints, being very indecisive about what I'm going to do with this time slot here. And I have decided that I have to go on hiatus. And whether that means a temporary hiatus or something permanent, I don't know. I'm going to have to talk to the staff here and figure things out. It's been obviously been a very difficult decision to make. I know I've taken extended breaks in the last few months. I just feel it's unfair to everybody to just keep on doing that. So I just want to give you just a brief explanation. One doesn't like to talk about oneself much on the air. That's not what this is all about, and I try to respect that. But since I am making what for me and perhaps for some of you will be a somewhat dramatic announcement, I'm sure some of you will be sorry to see me off the air for either a while or for a longer period. But so I, as I've said many times, I was taking care of my elderly mother until she died just a month and a half ago, almost 2 months actually. And she had some serious problems at the end. In particular, without going into graphic detail, she had a couple of urinary tract infections, which for those of you who know older people closely, especially older people, not only, they can be very dramatic. Anyway, she kind of went into a tailspin, and I was doing most of the caregiving, and at night especially, it just got to be too much for me. I started to burn out. I got anxiety, insomnia. I started having to take medications to go to sleep, and which have lasted until now, unfortunately. And now I'm rather dependent upon them, and it's just not that part of my my existence. The sleep part is not working out so great, and when if I wake up in the middle of the night before my Wednesday show, I start to worry. And then that I can't get back to sleep, and then I try to take more medications, and then that has deleterious effects as it is happening right now with brain fog. Anyway, I know this is way more detail than than I should be going into, but I did feel like I owe you kind of an explanation. So I just need to, you know, I also had a hip injury, pretty serious hip injury in a maneuver I was using to put my mom to bed, which was not the wisest use of my body. and I've been in physical therapy for, gosh, 3 or 4 months now, and it's finally seems to be turning the corner, but means I can't do my regular exercise, which helps me sleep and makes me a better functioning, happier person. Anyway, I know there's many people, including some of you listening, who have much more serious health issues than I do. I'm fully aware of that. And so I'm not trying to, you know, make out that I am, you know, my case is as serious as so many. But, you know, we only inhabit the life that we inhabit, and we know ourselves better than we can ever know anyone else. So I have gained a lot more empathy and understanding and appreciation for the struggles that people, various kinds of struggles that people go through, caregivers, people with mental health issues, with serious health issues, et cetera. And I am just in awe of people who can have those problems, those issues, and take care of a family and hold down a full-time job. I don't know how it is done. It is true that I am getting somewhat older, and that we are less resilient as we get older, and that's a fact that we must reckon with in this mortal coil, as it were. And so, yeah, I, as assuming this hip is going to finally get to the point where I can actually get back to my former regular activities, like, you know, occasional hiking and such, I think I want to go do a little traveling. I haven't had, like, a real vacation, you know, just sort of leaving everything behind for since before the pandemic, well before the pandemic, I think. Anyway, enough about my personal sad story. I know it's not funny. I don't find it funny, but it just is a little awkward talking about it on the radio. So I apologize, first of all, to people for not having been kind of up to my own standards and, you know, general radio standards the last few months, even years. I haven't been preparing program pages like I used to do regularly so people actually know what's coming up on the show. I haven't gotten it together to invite guests on a regular basis to make for much more lively radio generally. I could go on and on. And so, yeah, it's just not fair to you, to myself, to the station. I do hope that I will get back into KBOO Radio at some point, whether live on the air as a host or a podcast or something. So there you have it. So when you don't hear me on the air next week, that's what's going on. And I thank Ty, my steady board operator, for having stood by me all these years now, and for doing such a good job. And thanks for to KBOO for being very understanding and letting me take these breaks and extended breaks. Okay, well, let's talk. Let's talk happy news. What's going on in the United States? Yes, we are living in the wasteland of the free. Of course, it was always true, but we were able to maintain an illusion of freedom because of this kind of bubble of prosperity and the hard-won individual and identity rights that were carved out by many struggles over the years, decades, centuries, by countless generations of people going against the status quo. And now they're being rolled back, and the nature of democracy itself is being rolled back, but people are fighting back. That was a bright spot, the Supreme Court Judge Crawford being elected, giving Musk a slap in the face. You know, my feeling about all this is it just redoubles their efforts when they get, you know, they're so entitled and privileged that they actually think they deserve the ill-got billions that they are putting to such bad use. And then now stripping the whatever we have of a welfare state or a safety net, as it were. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this idea of a safety net. I've talked about this some over the months and years about how, especially I've talking with Jacqueline Keeler, my monthly co-host, who had been with me for many years now. I'll be sad to let that go as well. Maybe she'll be coming back on the air. I don't know. But about the loss of, you know, the decades-old, centuries-old, millennia-old process of the stripping away of a destruction of kinship society, small face-to-face kinship groups, which provided such strong support, social support, and how, you know, with especially with the development of capitalism, certainly development of empire cultures, the development of colonialism, you know, feudalism had a certain amount of, protection in that, because a lot of feudal areas actually kind of left those small kinship communities relatively alone. You know, they had to pay, you know, the tithe and the percentage to the king. But some, you know, some of the kings and lords were relatively benevolent. And, you know, there was still people, you know, a lot of people grew their own food, you know, had their strong social networks. But capitalism has really tended to strip away all those old social relationships and introducing the cash nexus and the commodity nexus and wage labor for the older forms of social production. Anyway, but it's just accelerated and accelerated. And of course, you know, there's just been this back and forth, which has been written about a lot in the United States between so-called laissez-faire capitalism, which is, of course, never laissez-faire. They always get all the advantages of, you know, hereditary wealth and, you know, private property protections and protections on commercial activity, et cetera. There's been kind of these polls of, you know, so-called laissez-faire, just savage capitalism where, you know, millionaires, billionaires rule, can do whatever they want, have these vicious factory systems with no labor protections, no child labor protections, no limitations on the work week or work day, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's been these swings, especially with the New Deal, which is, you know, that's what's under attack, and they cry, you know, socialism, communism, which it certainly wasn't, but it did institute, you know, social security and stronger labor laws and financial protections, various things, created, you know, Medicare and such. Well, maybe that was later. My brain isn't functioning too well. But anyway, so yes, there's been this swing kind of back and forth. And now we're going way back in the so-called laissez-faire. Of course, you know, the fact that Musk has gotten tens of billions of dollars in subsidies to make his financial empire is conveniently left out. You know, we know that the true quote welfare state is a welfare for the rich more than for the less wealthy and poor. Anyway, so I've been thinking a lot about that and how, you know, with the boom in the houseless population, which when I used to was able to ride my bike around, especially up the 205 corridor and in adjacent areas, there's, you know, massive numbers of people just camping out. You know, and I you know, one wonders, you know, what, you know, I think people are born with, you know, relatively, you know, barring, you know, serious physical issues, you know, brain issues from birth, barring that, you know, by and large, people are born. And, you know, the disadvantage caused by, you know, environmental toxins and stresses from poverty, et cetera, et cetera. But as I said, as we're constituted, human beings tend to have relatively equal. I mean, certainly people have, you know, however intelligence is measured, you know, there's differences in that. But, you know, the wavelengths or whatever are relatively attenuated. They're not these huge differences as you find in, say, inequality of wealth and that. You know, people by and large can, you know, can make do given a chance in the world. But of course, when, you know, we have financial crashes like 2008, you know, when we just have this neoliberal capitalism, which continues to eat away at the protections that people do have, you know, because basically, the protection that we had as I call it a birthright. The protection is a birthright. To grow up in a face-to-face community that, you know, you can go way back and, you know, talk about, you know, just being able to live off the land, you know, and the, you know, obviously the great rigors and dangers that entails, but, you know, people have the strong bonds, social community bonds, in order to nurture them. And people actually, you know, once they maybe got past childhood, did live longer than people once thought. Anyway, and then, you know, throughout the ages, you know, we don't have to just talk about, you know, hunter-gatherers, but, you know, throughout the ages, people have had, tended to have the protection of their kin and their communities, and, you know, and being taken care of into their old age. But, you know, with the capitalist, especially the neoliberal capitalist system, that tends to be undermined. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm just foreshortening, telescoping in a ridiculously simplified way. But anyway, I just think about that. But I think about, you know, there but for the grace of God, as they say, go I, that people, you know, what lands people into situations where they're having to struggle against so many more difficulties, you know, even the, you know, the elements without having a decent roof over one's head. And, you know, a lot of times people, I think people just have too many knocks, you know, whether it was in their childhood, whether it was abuse, whether it was, you know, whether it was, you know, whatever, whether it was different knocks in life that led them to, you know, lose one piece and then another piece. I just think it's, I think it's people, there tends to be this, you know, sort of recoil in horror. If you look on, say, Nextdoor and some of these Facebook places where, you know, people talk about these things, there's this lively debate about, you know, what is going on with all that. Anyway, I guess I'm saying that because I think personally, if I was like close to the edge, you know, I happened to, you know, my mom provided for me. You know, I moved her out here and helped her buy the house where I lived with her. And I was, you know, free from a lot of the you know, those other pressures. I had my own pressures. But, you know, if I had to take care of my mom and I didn't have some of these, you know, and I started to, you know, get insomnia, I injured my hip, whatever, and I didn't have, you know, some of the securities that I had, it would be just so easy to lose it. And then, you know, I just can't imagine what it would be to have, you know, a serious physical or mental issue and having to be on the streets or having to just struggle with a, you know, some terrible minimum wage job and pay the ridiculous rents that we have to pay. Anyway, I just, there's just too much pressure on the individual. I don't think we understand how the nature, what the nature, as much as we ought to, the nature of individualism is in this society, and how it's just too much pressure. You know, even for people who do have, you know, safeties and securities, it's too much pressure, and it's easy to start losing those. So, and look what's happening now. The people who, you know, think that they're God's chosen people to amass billions of dollars and political power, they think that they were, you know, somehow chosen by whatever or whoever to be in that position. Then everybody who's not able to get there can just suffer. And that's what's happening. That's the nature of authoritarianism and fascism is, and picking, you know, convenient scapegoats like immigrants and trans people and whoever they're picking on in order to, you know, activate those, you know, oh, I'm not them. I'll be with the winner. Okay, so those are just a few reflections that I had. Can't remember where I was going with that exactly, but here's an Onion headline. New study finds average American stands no chance against what's coming. Ha, ha, ha. I don't think gallows humor is going to get us through, but sometimes it's kind of unavoidable. Yes, yeah, so I've you know, talked a lot with various guests by myself about the, you know, what's coming at us. And I guess one thing that a conversation that I've wanted to have more of is this whole issue of, you know, I've talked about, you know, sort of, it feels a little bit, I don't know, atavistic or, you know, kind of wishful thinking or something to talk about, you know, revolutionary struggle to overthrow capitalism. But it certainly is, well, I guess the issue for me was always the urgency of the situation, whether it's climate change, whether it's the ravages of the capitalist system directly on us socially, whatever it is, the urgency of the situation versus a tendency, I think, for liberals in general to, you know, what did Martin Luther King said, the arc of the moral universe is long or something. I think the arc of time that we have to address what's going on is short. You know, I hear, you know, Democrats saying, oh, we need to play the long game. Oh, you know, Trump is just going to fall on his face. I mean, it could be. Maybe, you know, maybe the Supreme Court will be a backstop against what's happening. Maybe the rule of law will hold. You know, but these, you know, I think people are increasingly realizing these are actually no longer givens. Anyway, I haven't been able to get out and about and do much protesting and actionizing. Maybe you have. Maybe you'd like to talk about what you've been doing. Looks like I've inspired already a couple callers who already know the number, which is 503-231-8187. Before I go to my first caller, I would like to remind you that this is a listener-sponsored station. This is a community effort. We survive and thrive only on your support, and we've been going on for 55 years now, 54, and we need to keep going. We really need to keep going in these times. So I really would like people to keep listening to this time slot, whoever's in it. Keep listening to KBOO. Keep supporting KBOO. Go to kboo.fm and click on that donate button if you haven't done it recently. Please do that. Please support. We, you know, who knows, you know, they're already talking about stripping funding from NPR and PBS. You know, for all their flaws, they are a valuable, their existence is valuable for a whole host of reasons. You know, I've tended to criticize them over the years, but in times like these, one tends to not overlook those flaws, but look at the need for their existence and this, you know, and the existence of smaller independent entities like KBOO. So please continue to support KBOO. All right, I'm going to go to my first caller. It looks like it's our regular Santiago. Hi there. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning. Before I get into what I was going to say, I just want to say I appreciate.
I can't hear you so well. Are you on speakerphone or something?
Here, hang on a second.
People should always not get on speakerphone, by the way.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I was wanting to say is that, number one, I wanted to appreciate your. I appreciate your willingness to be vulnerable on the air. I know. My partner just passed away in January, and I've been taking care of her for a few years on top of working, and it's hard, and you're going through a lot, and just be patient and gentle with yourself, man, you know, so I just wanted to give you encouragement there.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, man, and, you know, more importantly, I think, you know, I think in this time with what we're dealing with, I think that, that one of the benefits of the Trump administration is that, I mean, the first one and this one, is that it lays bare how our system truly works. Because you notice that, you know, the supposed opposition party, like, they're not mad about the fact that, like, people are being murdered in Yemen by U.S. imperial forces. You know, they're mad about the incompetence of the administration. They remove the mystique of what you know, of what the, of how the government, you know, how they want people to believe the government is run. And I think, you know, or like how, you know, we have legalized bribery in America. We call it lobbying. But Elon Musk just giving directly to Trump, that removes the mystique. It's, he's just doing what AIPAC does, but he's giving the money directly and not through funds and not with like a bunch of like fluffery or puffery around what he's doing. You know, so I think in that point, it's like, and you see a lot of the opposition coming from Democrats is like, you know, like right now with the signal chat thing, they're trying to gin up, they're still trying to maintain U.S. support for the attack on Yemen by saying that we need to support the troops, or that you know, the signal leak put you know American personnel in danger, while the conservatives are saying, well, the mission succeeded, so don't worry about it. But there's no actual talk of how, you know, regardless of how you feel about the Houthis or Yemen or what's going on over there, that they are on the correct side of history and history will vindicate them. You know, I'm just saying that, like, we're seeing the American empire being laid bare in its last dying kicks. And I just think that, you know, I'm been involved in a lot of like local organizing, and I haven't been out to as many protests as I'd like to, just because I have a lot of responsibilities. But I'm doing my best to continue to educate people and help radicalize them in this moment, because, you know, we really need to take advantage of this time where people are seeing what the truth is and getting them to because, you know, the New Deal stuff that we got as a working class was not what was just concessions. It was something that was given to us in lieu of autonomy, in lieu of you know, the ability to provide for ourselves, because at the end of the day, they're trying to preserve empire. And so, you know, the Democrats are saying that we need to go vote the way the Jan 6ers stormed the Capitol. And it's like, I would disagree, because, you know, the rights that we have were not won by voting. They were won by disturbing the peace. And if we're going to continue to keep those gains that we have received as the working class and as you know, queer, trans, black and brown folks, then we need to understand that it comes with the same responsibilities of those who came before us.
Well,
we're not going to vote it out therein.
I would disagree a little bit and say that I think some have been brought by voting. I don't think we should downplay voting completely. I'm not an either or. I think that, you know, I do believe that, you know, reform and revolution can sometimes actually work off each other. And I do think that allowing space for people to actually have lives, you know, I think the idea that, you know, stripping off all the illusions when it goes along with stripping off all the protections that allow people a little bit of breathing room in order to be able to get their head up and protest and look around. I don't want to completely throw out the idea of voting in people who can actually make some change. I don't think they're mutually exclusive, but I do agree.
No, I don't think they're mutually exclusive either. But the problem is that we have a culture of do nothing. As Americans, like we have a culture of here's your treats, be good, and our revolutionaries who you know, because I mean, I believe reform and revolution are like reform is like altering a garment until to make it fit you, and then revolution is realizing that you've outgrown the garment. And capitalism outgrew its usefulness over 100 years ago. And the world is, and you know, and for the most part, we've seen in the successful revolutions that a lot of the other countries who have had those revolutions have moved on. But a lot of what's gotten in their way is the capitalist state of all the imperialist powers trying to hang on to their power. And while they might be dying, they still have plenty of influence. And, you know, and I agree too, like voting has its place. It's a tactic, but the problem is that voting is lionized in a culture of do nothing.
Okay.
And well, so we need to, you know, So I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying it's either or, but I'm also saying that we need to look past the lionization of passivity.
All right, I appreciate that. I'd like to hear what other people weigh in on that. 503-231-8187. Always good to hear from you, Santiago.
Yeah, take care of yourself, brother.
Okay, thanks. 503-231-8187. I did have an interesting, speaking of the Signal chat, I had actually pulled up this, you know, I don't actually know that much about this website. It's called Shame the Hacks Who Abuse Media Ethics. I didn't look into this more deeply. I apologize if this ends up not being as truthful as it could be, but it struck me as interesting. The headline is, The Atlantic's Jeffrey Goldberg was a follower of Jewish right-wing terrorist Meir Kahane. Anyway, it says some very interesting things. It says, let me just read the first couple paragraphs, because it goes to the point, I think, that Santiago was talking about that. Well, it was abhorrent, and I've heard Santiago on other shows talking about this. I don't think this is talked about hardly at all in the major media. The fact that, you know, that this focusing on the signal, it's basically focusing on this, the signal chat thing as being a violation of national security, is playing into the national security state, is playing into nationalism. It's playing into this default, the default of empire, as Santiago was saying, that, you know, instead of taking a more critical view and taking a critical view of what actually happened, the bombing of the Houthis, why are they bombing, and it's distracting from the genocide in Gaza, which has been renewed and strengthened, and now they're brazenly again going after the United Nations, because the United Nations is finally speaking up more boldly about the genocide in Gaza. Anyway, so here, I'm just going to read this a little bit. Hold on, Elliot, if you can, for a couple minutes. And if you want to call in, 503-231-8187 in a few minutes. On August 15, 2012, in West Jerusalem, a small group of Palestinian teenagers was attacked by a mob of Israeli youths. The New York Times described it as an attempted lynching. The Israelis, who had apparently planned on lynching someone that night, and of course we've heard about horrible stories about settlers attacking, including the director of Academy Award-winning documentary, whose name includes the word homeland, but I can't remember. The Israelis, who had apparently planned on lynching someone that night, set their sights on a couple of Palestinian kids hanging out at a busy city square, chased one of them down, and then beat him until his heart had stopped. His name was Jamal Julani, a 17-year-old resident of East Jerusalem. He only survived because a medical student happened to be on the scene and was able to resuscitate him in time. The beating took place in full view of hundreds of people who stood by and watched without intervening. According to an eyewitness account in the Jerusalem Post, quote, people who tried to resuscitate the Arab were mocked by the crowd of Jewish youths. But The Atlantic's Jeffrey Goldberg wouldn't have any of it. He downplayed the seriousness of the attack and went after a New York Times reporter for implying that the lynching was a sign of systemic racism in Israel. He then tried to whitewash the violence and then excused it by pinning the attack on poor, uneducated Arab Jews. This sort of thing isn't actually, he wrote, this sort of thing isn't actually that new. As someone who covered the funeral procession of Meir Kahane, the racist rabbi assassinated in New York more than 20 years ago, I can attest to the fact that Jewish hooligans, mainly from Jerusalem's poorest neighborhoods, and many who are descendants of Jews who fled or were expelled from Arab countries, will periodically set themselves upon innocent Arabs. They did it at the funeral and in subsequent incidents. Goldberg packed in a lot of evil lies into that one small paragraph. First, there's his sleazy insinuation that Arab Jews are somehow solely responsible for the violence against Palestinians, a disgusting expression of Ashkenazi racism that blames darker-skinned Sephardic Jews for all the ills of Israeli society. Then there's his suggestion that the brutal beating of Gilani was somehow understandable or even justified because the Israeli kids doing the beating were, quote, mainly descendants of Jews who fled or were expelled from Arab countries, meaning that the lynched Palestinian kid had only had his Arab brothers to blame for what happened to him. Anyway, it goes on. Again, this is I just came across this website, which is why I don't know anything about it, called Shame. Shame the Hacks Who Abuse Media Ethics. The Atlantic's Jeffrey Goldberg was a follower of Jewish right-wing terrorist Meir Kahan. Anyway, so this is really important to what's happening. I mean, you notice that this the clampdown on free speech is really the tip of the spear is people who have been protesting the genocide in Gaza, mostly universities. So you know they're taking away our free speech by going after that, and this is happening not just in the United States, you know, they're just this whole it's almost like a nation state protection racket. You know, you can't criticize a nation state. I don't know. You know, of course, there's the crucial role that Israel has played in geopolitics for decades. So, there was another piece of that thread. But anyway, we do have another caller, and you're invited to call. You've only got about 15 minutes left or a little more to call in at 503-231-8187. Let's go to Elliot if he's patiently waiting. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, just a parenthetical note that I put in slightly nasty email to PBS about the simple fact that as a young man, Jeffrey Goldberg, is now moderator of Washington Week, Jeffrey Goldberg was a prison guard in Gaza, and that's never been disclosed anywhere on public radio, but it happens to be true. But the comment I was going to make succinctly is, you know, people in their 20s or 30s or even 40s are going to live more in the deteriorating future world, and maybe because they're under such neoliberal life stress, Pacifica stations, Pacifica affiliates, are just having a very hard time getting them to come on the air. But part of the problem is a lot of these younger people have gravitated to things like YouTube, like Grace Blakely in England or Lisa Miller in Minneapolis, because they have to eat too, and they partially support themselves with things like Patreon and Kickstarter. And, you know, the traditional Pacifica radio stations, they don't want to hear that. That's my comment.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. I haven't been following what's going on with our sister stations. I used to. Well, it's mainly when the big flare-ups happened. I know that there's a community station in, I think it's St. Louis. I can look that up as we're talking, that is, they've sold or are about to sell their station to a evangelical Christian outfit. This is a community station. I'm just going to look this up as we speak, but I would like to hear what you have to say. This is this might be your last chance to speak to me on the air, if that means anything to you, certainly for a while. As I said at the outset of the station, I am going on hiatus. Just a lot of stressors in my life, and I'm just having a hard time managing. And I just really kind of need to take a clean break. It feels a little pathetic, I will say that. I'm not actually sure it's fully justified, but you know, we must make decisions on the basis of the factors that we're able to take into account. I do feel like I'm kind of letting down people, because I do feel that over the years I've brought a lot of Certainly interesting guests and perspectives to the airwaves. Oh, I did say that we're going to Elliot. Go ahead, you're on the air. Oh, maybe he's not there anymore. Oh, I did. You see, I told you, brain fog. Now that's embarrassing. That's why I'm going on hiatus. If you're starting to have brain fog in the morning and unable to remember what you just said, so please call me and have a conversation with you. 503-231-8187. Let's see, St. Louis Community Radio Station. I'm just going to type that in. Yeah, KDHX. That's the one. They are, I'm sure I'm going to come up with some news. They filed for bankruptcy on March 10th. So, yeah, so these things happen. You know, those of you who are steadfast, community radio and Pacifica listeners, supporters, of course, you know, Democracy Now! Started out on Pacifica, on a WBAI in New York. You know, my generation of sort of a liberal, radical, alternative, politically active people pretty much knew all the stuff that was going on with Pacifica and stuff. And as, you know, Elliot pointed out, the shift to social media, which, you know, talking about techno-fascism, which I was going to talk about, that's part of it. Okay, let's go to our next caller is Barth. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi. I'm sorry to hear that you're going to be leaving us. I value your work and your output and your stirring people from apathy. So,
thank you.
I hope your hiatus is useful and fruitful for your own mental and physical state, and that it isn't overly long, because we need you.
Thank you.
That's pretty much all I've got to say.
Okay.
But happy spring, and enjoy the light that's coming back to the sky.
All right. Right on. Thank you. Bye, Barth. I appreciate that. Yes, I was really looking forward to spring and getting over this hip injury and getting out of hiking. I hope it happens. It's going to happen. I've been very dedicated. If anybody out there who's got an injury and has been prescribed or recommended physical therapy, do your physical therapy all the way through, no matter how hard. Use every ounce of your self-discipline. I know from experience, I got just before I got my hip injury, I had just gotten over a long-standing back injury, which finally, through swimming and physical therapy, got over it. Okay, enough about me, I said already. Catherine, hi, what do you got to say?
Hi, Paul. What I have to say is I have great compassion for you, and I hope you will start, give yourself some more compassion. You've done a great, great job in our community in many ways. And it makes my heart hurt to hear you being so hard on yourself. So please just like with your physical therapy, please cover yourself in love and compassion.
Okay, I need to take a deep breath with that. Thank you. Appreciate that. That is probably points out to something, something I need to work on as well. So maybe that's going to be my task.
Well, I'm in a meditation group every morning, and this comes up frequently. We're all getting old, and we just really try to remind ourselves and each other in the group that this is so important. And I just thank you again, because I've seen you at various, you know, Montevilla gatherings and things like that. Various. Sorry, I didn't mean to get too...
No, it's all right.
Like that. But anyhow, and just thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for calling, Catherine. That was very nice. I'm a proud Montevillan. I don't hide it. I as I talked about a few weeks ago with this Worth Fighting for St. John's group that started out in reaction to the what's going on in the United States of America. and hoping that some local groups, it'd be nice to get something started here in Montevilla and see other things propping up. If anybody knows about any local organizations like that. Before I go to tangent, my next listener caller, I did want to say one thing I did notice in looking up events, rallies, marches, and stuff in Portland. There's been a lot the past couple weeks. There's one coming up sponsored by Rose City Indivisible, Hands Off Rally and March on April 5. That's just in a few days. I guess that would be Friday or Saturday. A rally at 12 p.m., accessible march 1 p.m. at the meet at the Japanese American Historical Plaza, 100 Northwest NATO Parkway. Join Rose City Indivisible and 50501 PDX, not sure, to tell this fascist government hands off. All right, that's one thing you can get involved in. I hope to be there April 5. All right, let's go to tangent. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, brother. Hey, I wanted to mention one just about your hip. I've recovered from a hip injury. Also, it took a number of years, but a CBD oil is amazing. I'll leave it at that. But I wanted to, for your sleep thing, I've also suffered from that in years past, and one of my lessons I taught myself was don't look at the clock. It does, no matter if it's 2 minutes or 20 minutes, you just feel worse. It doesn't help. So I actually, in our house, we just turn it away so we can't. But
right on.
Yeah, the thing also is I've gone through nights where I didn't look at the clock, but I also didn't go back to sleep. And even though I couldn't sleep, I still laid there in bed, and it was better than having no sleep, like as if I was running around or working all night. Sometimes I might have done that. You see, getting out, you do rest, even if...
Well, yeah, okay. we're all very have our own individual particularities around all that. But let's not get into all that. I'm sure plenty of people listening also have had or currently have their issues with sleep, which is it's a problem. Anyway, got anything to say about what's going on in the world?
No, I do have a lot. But okay, here's one, real quick. I would call, so for Trump, let's call him the President Czar. He rules by decree, right? Nobody said and go, well, how do you do that? Okay. We can deport somebody, but we just can't get them back. Come on. Lie and bend the law whichever way they like it, like a weather vane. But no, you know, the President Czar. See, like, I used to wonder, why do they call this guy the drug czar, the this czar, the that czar? It's like, I thought we hated Russia. And I realized, that was Imperial Russia. We hated the Red Russia.
Well, that's what they talk about, techno-feudalism or techno-fascism, which is what we seem to be heading right into. And whether we're going to be able to head off the worst of it is really an open question. So I don't know if anybody wants to weigh in on this question of, you know, the long game versus the short game and what that means, but that's a lot on my mind. Anyway, looks like we've got a full slate of callers. Thank you, as always, for calling in, Tangent.
Can I just...
Yeah, go ahead.
Catherine asked about something, and she mentioned something about you being hard on yourself. I don't want to... Just the fact that you said this feels kind of pathetic. See, that's just a little bit of what she's getting at. You don't... You've done so wonderful
stuff. All right.
Stuff,
well, thank you.
And that's just... You're just where you are, and you're letting, and thank you for being so open. Like Santiago said, it helps a lot of us, the people that don't have your air time. All right, brother, peace
all right.
And rest well.
Thank
okay.
you. Well, I guess I don't know. That's probably right, but I guess anyway. Whatever. Enough about me. Looks like I thought we had a couple more callers. The switchboard lit up all of a sudden. Anyway, if anyone does want to, you know, get in touch with me or keep in touch with me, you can leave your contact info with Ty in the last few minutes, or you can, KBO. I'll be still reachable through the website. It would be nice to keep in touch. KBO.fm. Go to Wednesday Talk Radio. Click on my name as host, which is highlighted in green, and there's a contact form. You can contact any on-air hosts that way, not just me. be nice to have a lot more ongoing back and forth. So much I've wanted to do over the years, some of which I've accomplished. I guess I was going to say, I try to be sort of kind of objective, you know, not, you know, I do think, anyway, enough about all that. Looks like we got Josh. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Eric, can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hey. A couple things. So first, I just, at the end of this, I'll give out my email. I can only check my email once every week or so. So if you don't hear back from me right away, no worries. You mentioned the contact form on your website just now. How does that work?
Well, you go to kbo.fm.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry. After I fill it out, how does it go to your personal email or does it go to
eventually?
Email,
yeah. It goes to my personal email, and then the host can choose whether to follow up on it. But yeah, it goes to our personal emails. There's also some other system we have. You can also call the station and leave a message with the volunteer coordinator. You can leave a message even at volunteer at kbo.fm, I think it is, and he'll get it to us. But yeah, that form goes directly to, you click on audio, you look on list of programs, you scroll down to whatever program. In this case, it's at the very end, Wednesday Talk Radio. Mm-hmm. Or you could even just go to radio schedule and click on Wednesday and click on Wednesday Talk Radio there. And that's actually a quicker way to do it. And then it says hosted by Paul Rowland. You click on my name, it's highlighted in green. That gives it a link. And then it gives you a way to, anyway, that's it for anyone who wishes.
Okay. Is this your very last show for the foreseeable future?
For the foreseeable future, yes.
Yeah, wow. I would just love to, so many of us, myself included, and I'm fairly young. I mean, I'm 39, but I think have just been having more and more health issues and, like you said, this call-in show is really, it's the only way actually for KBOO community members to talk with each other, because KBOO doesn't have any kind of member directory that people can opt into. And I've asked for that, and I've made that kind of suggestion, and I guess I don't know how to contact KBOO members or how to tell other KBOO members that I want them to contact me, other than calling into a show when that's a thing. And I'm just really concerned that there's no channel for that.
Yeah, well, I've always thought that I threw out this idea a long time ago that I could be a repository, and help people connect with each other. And then my own inability to follow up and the logistical difficulties. But I always thought that some kind of like a bulletin board or something, but the thing is, we're also short staffed now. We had a budget crisis, and we actually had to lay off a number of staff members, so we're kind of like operating on a shoestring as it is to begin with. So there used to be a lot more volunteer involvement when the station was pre-pandemic, when the station was more open and people would be able to come into the station. And there's actually station and bulletin boards where people could leave notes and stuff. Yeah, it was kind of more old school. And now like everything else, we've gone more social media ish. But yeah, we need it. It all takes volunteer involvement, and it's a hard thing, because anything in any organizing task, involves time and energy. So asking you to to follow through with, you know, your ideas of, you know, how getting, being able to get in touch with members. I mean, you know, there's privacy issues, which are obviously paramount for people, but there should be ways, you know, there should be technological ways. I don't know. I think it's an important question. I think, you know, getting more volunteer involvement on running the front desk, for example, might allow us to stay open, more open, you know, talking with the, you know, going to board meetings and, finding out what's going on, you know, with those things. Yeah, just getting more involved, you know, it gets harder the way things are going as well. So, you know, these are all not easy asks. Anyway, looks like we're just about out of time. Do you have one last quick thought?
Yeah, well, so let me, can you write down my email and anyone else?
Why don't you just talk to Ty? Just stay on the line and Ty will talk to you because we got to get off the air right now. Oh, you want, okay, go ahead. Okay. If you want to give out your email, do it.
P.S. the number 2 me at posteo.b as in dog, e as in echo.
Okay, we got to go.
Me at posteo.
Okay, we're out of time completely. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we're totally out of time.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m.
I'm Queen Ida, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM on your radio. Your spot for Cajun and Zydeco music. Bon ton roulé. Oh, yeah,